Nothing is quite what it seems with Tom and Goldberry. Today we explore their dinner with the hobbits, and we find a few more clues about who Tom is. But can we provide an exact answer? I'm Aaron, your host and fellow Middle-earth wanderer. And please forgive me, I'm feeling a little bit congested today. But this is episode number 162 of Lore of the Rings, where we wander the world and works of J.R.R. Tolkien. Whether you've read the books or only seen the films, and you simply love to wander the epic tales and intricate details of Middle-earth, you're in good fellowship here. Now, let's wander.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's check the map for today's tale. Frodo and friends are in the house of the mysterious Tom Bombadil. They've escaped the Old Forest outside the Shire and are attempting to meet Gandalf at Bree and then head on to Rivendell, and to there pass on the One Ring. This is part two of our wandering of the chapter called In the House of Tom Bombadil from J.R.R. Tolkien's Fellowship of the Ring. Let's examine the dinner scene with the hobbits, Tom and Goldberry. Notice where Tom and Goldberry sit, each at the end of the table, facing each other. This suggests that they are equals, neither subservient to the other. But also notice something that's missing, servants. Even Beorn, the changeling in The Hobbit, had trained animals who waited on his table. But not Tom and Goldberry. They do all the preparations for dinner together. This underscores the idea that Goldberry and Tom complement one another, that they are to be understood as a unit, not as simple individuals. Also, in the dinner, we get the continuation of a motif that we've seen several times with these two mysterious beings. Tolkien employs a lot of simile to describe the couple and their surroundings. From the introductory line of Tom, that he seemed to be a man, we've seen this same device pop up several times, many right here in this dinner scene. Look for words such as seem, as if, or like. The drink, for example, quote, seemed to be clear cold water, yet it went to their hearts like wine. This simple example shows that we can't quite pin down what the liquid is. It's pleasant, to be sure, but what it is exactly is a mystery. Although I can't help but remember the first recorded miracle of Jesus in the New Testament, changing water into wine at a marriage feast. Also, look at the way the guests begin to communicate, quote, they were singing merrily, as if it was easier and more natural than talking. Note the use of simile there, but also the impact on the guests. Talking is less natural than singing. This takes us all the way back to the creation of Middle-earth, through the music of the Ainur, the gods, and the theme of Ilúvatar, the creator god above all. Music is the essential, deepest nature of all living things in Middle-earth, and even non-living things like the rocks. And so the drink has the effect of bringing the hobbits back to a state more aligned with their internal, primordial natures. Another hint at who Tom and Goldberry are. After the dinner, the hobbits sit with Tom by the fire. This fire burns, quote, with a sweet smell, as if it were built of apple wood. This line jumped out at me through this reading because in the last few years I've picked up the hobby of smoking meat. And last Sunday I smoked some pork ribs over applewood pellets. If you've never smelled applewood burning, then you are missing out on truly one of the sweetest smells possible. And the ribs turned out great, by the way. Send me an email or DM on Instagram if you want to swap smoking recipes. But I digress. The literary devices for simile continue. Goldberry sweeps out of the room and, quote, the sound of her footsteps was like a stream falling gently away downhill over cool stones in the quiet of the night. Oh boy, lots to unpack here. First, note the simile to describe Goldberry. We don't know who she is exactly, but you can imagine the beautiful sounds of water trickling down a hill. But also notice another instance of a pattern. Who is Tom Bombadil? Goldberry told us earlier in the chapter, and we explored this last episode, but he is Master of Wood, Water, and Hill. I'll repeat that. Master of Wood, Water, and Hill. Now think of the last few similes we just examined. The smell of apple wood, and the sound of water as it flows downhill. Wood, water, hill. In that order. Coincidence? I don't think so. I'm going to keep highlighting this pattern. We'll even see another instance of it in the Hobbit's dreams later on in this episode. But that's not even the last one. And one last line to examine before we say goodnight to Goldberry. She advises the hobbits, quote, "Have peace now until the morning. Heed no nightly noises." This line will be repeated a little later by Tom himself, quote, "Heed no nightly noise. Fear no gray willow." That line, "Heed no nightly noises," is said by Treebeard to Merry and Pippin in the Two Towers movie. It would seem that Peter Jackson, Philippa Boyens, and Fran Walsh took several ideas and lines of dialogue from Tom and Goldberry and gave them to Treebeard. This makes sense for a few reasons. One, it reduces the need for Tom and Goldberry to be in the film, an adaptation that even Tolkien said would be understandable. Two, in the film, Treebeard is the stand-in for the nature archetype. He is the personification of nature and its motivation. That is, in the film. Tolkien provided us more than one personification of nature in the books. Treebeard, yes, and Tom and Goldberry. So I can see the logic of consolidating these personifications into one in the character of Treebeard. Before we go on, if you are loving this deep exploration of Fellowship of the Ring, I would certainly appreciate a small donation from you. You can support the Lore of the Rings podcast by visiting buymeacoffee.com/LOTRpodcast and leaving a donation. Every dollar helps this wandering podcaster to continue to explore Middle-earth with you, and maybe even buy some cold medicine. That's buymeacoffee.com/LOTRpodcast, or tap the link in the show notes. Thank you. With full bellies, sleep dancing under their eyes, and a warm fire at their feet, the hobbits now have a chance to ask Tom any number of questions that are swirling around their heads. Frodo asks the first question. Did Tom hear him calling, or was it chance that brought him that way? A few things to consider here. Take a look at how Tom first responds. Quote, "Tom stirred like a man shaken out of a pleasant dream." There's that repeated motif of a simile to describe Tom, further underscoring his ethereal nature. And Tom has an interesting response. Quote, "Nay, I did not hear. I was busy singing. But chance brought me then, if chance you call it." Let's pause right here for a moment. The idea of chance is a major theme in Tolkien's works, and one that we've explored many times on this show. The quintessential example of chance is the meeting of Gandalf and Thorin in Bree that kicked off Bilbo's adventure, that led to the eventual destruction of the One Ring and Sauron, not to mention all the close calls and seemingly little chances that occurred along the way, one that we're exploring right now. It was chance that brought Tom by Old Man Willow just in the moment of the Hobbit's greatest need. One day sooner or one day later, and the Hobbits would have been tree food. Tom has an annual ritual, which he explains in song form. He returns to the Withywindle every year, to the place where he first found Goldberry, the River Daughter, and he gathers white water lilies for her. If the Hobbits had not been there on that day, Tom would have missed them, even though he had been keeping an eye out for them. Was it chance, then? I do love Tom's words. If chance you call it. Does Tom call it something else? Does he have some inkling that in Middle-earth, chance is rarely a lucky meeting, and more often the evidence of some divine intervention? There are many forces in Middle-earth, as Gandalf would say, and Bilbo was meant to find the ring, so Frodo was meant to bear the ring, and so Tom was destined to save the hobbits on that particular day in that particular place. What day was this exactly? From the Tale of Years in Appendix B, we see that it was September 26, only 3 days since Frodo left Bag End. Chance then? No, I don't think so. There's too much intention in Frodo's mission for us to simply leave it up to chance. Before the discussion is over, Frodo ventures one more question. What is Old Man Willow? Merry and Pippin descry the answer, and Tom directs the conversation to bedtime. But notice, even in Tom's non-singing prose voice, he is rhyming. Quote, "Some things are ill to hear when the world's in shadow. Sleep till the morning light rest on the pillow. Heed no nightly noise, fear no gray willow." And I can't help but reading that in still like a sing-song voice. But I point this out to showcase Tolkien's skill as a writer. One of the reasons we love this story so much is that the characters are all so believable and familiar. One of the characteristics that makes them so believable is that each character has their own voice and style. A voice that is completely unique to them, their story, their history, and the linguistic traditions which they inherit. No other character in Middle-earth could say what Tom says in the way that he says it. And to Tolkien's credit, it's not just Tom. Even Sam, compared to the other hobbits, demonstrates this. Every character has their own stylistic voice, and that's just one of the many reasons why The Lord of the Rings resonates with so many people across time. Now, before we wrap up today's wandering, I promised one more example of the Wood Water Hill pattern. We'll get to that right after this break.
We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Are you ready to dive deeper into Tolkien's world? If you've ever struggled to read The Silmarillion, I've got just the thing for you. I've created a free guide packed with my best tips to help you conquer this epic book. Whether you're a seasoned reader or tackling it for the first time, this guide will make your journey through the first age of Middle-earth more rewarding than ever. Head over to ringspodcast.com to download your free guide today. Your adventure deeper into Middle-earth starts now. Visit ringspodcast.com today for your free guide. As Goldberry has said, Tom is master of wood, water, and hill. Let's see if we can spot this pattern in the three dreams that the hobbits experience in that first night in the house of Tom Bombadil. Frodo's dream is quite unsettling. Darkness is the main theme here, or as the narrator puts it, quote, a dream without light. He sees a vast tower of stone, on which a man with white hair holds a staff, and then seems to escape on a great eagle. The sounds from the dream morph into the hooves of black riders, from which he wakes and then goes back to sleep. Frodo's dreams provide an intriguing insight into the story. Clearly, he is seeing Gandalf as he is imprisoned in Orthanc, and then escaping on the back of an eagle. But Frodo hasn't even heard this story yet. Beyond that, it seems that Frodo's dream is showing him the past. A quick look from the timeline in the Tale of Years shows that Gandalf escapes Orthanc on September 18th. A full 8 days before Frodo arrives at Tom Bombadil's house. In fact, on that night, Gandalf is racing north from Rohan after taming the great white horse Shadowfax. So perhaps Frodo's mistakenly interpreted the sounds of his dream. Instead of the hooves of black riders, perhaps it's Gandalf he is hearing. But we're looking for the Wood Water Hill pattern, so let's move on to Pippin's dream. Pippin's dream isn't a dream per se, but he seems to be in that in-between state, where you're half asleep and half awake. What a wonderful time for your brain to play tricks on you, like convincing you that you're back in the roots of Old Man Willow, being pulled deeper underground and buried alive by a tree. But he remembers Tom's counsel and falls back asleep. Here's the first part of the pattern. Tom is master of wood. Next, we have Merry's dream. Merry dreams the house flooding with water and being drowned in it. As he flails around in his sleep, his foot hits the hard stone floor, and he remembers where he is, and that he should not fear. So that's wood, and now water. What about hill? Well, Merry is comforted as he remembers these words from Goldberry. Quote, nothing passes doors or windows save moonlight and starlight and the wind off the hilltop. What happens at the exact moment that Merry is remembering these words? Quote, A little breath of sweet air moved the curtain. The only air that passes into the house at night is wind from where? You guessed it, the hilltop. Between Pippin and Merry's dreams, we are again reminded that Tom is indeed master of wood, water, and hill. But guess what? This isn't the last time we'll see this pattern. We'll dive deeper on that next time. But wait, what about Sam? Well, Sam is the lucky benefactor of another of Tolkien's favorite literary devices, taking a phrase we say every day now and giving it an origin story. Quote, as far as he could remember, Sam slept through the night in deep content, if logs are contented. Or as you and I might say, Sam slept like a log. Thank you for wandering Middle Earth with me today. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. For feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Are you ready to dive deeper into Tolkien's world? If you've ever struggled to read The Silmarillion, I've got just the thing for you. I've created a free guide packed with my best tips to help you conquer this epic book. Whether you're a seasoned reader or tackling it for the first time, this guide will make your journey through the first age of Middle-earth more rewarding than ever. Head over to ringspodcast.com to download your free guide today. Your adventure deeper into Middle-earth starts now. Visit ringspodcast.com today for your free guide.